Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study together God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Thank you to all who listen and support these broadcasts. In helping defray the financial costs, your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson in developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, we come boldly to the throne of grace and ask for your promised help as we seek to walk with you, as we seek to learn the Word of God and to see it incorporated in our everyday thinking and lifestyle. And so, Father, today as we study your Word, would you just open our hearts to be very receptive, to be able to hear the understanding of your kingdom and your kingdom purposes in our lives. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we finish the Beatitudes, which was Jesus' outline of kingdom lifestyle. And we're going to dive a little deeper into the New Testament now by going to the book of James. And where James tells us through frustration and pain, we grow and become strong in faith. And so this is a challenge for us on a human level, but James puts it this way, James 1:2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And that word perfect, if you look it up, its true meaning is talking about maturity, coming into a maturity in Christ. The scripture is hard for many to receive. This scripture is hard for many to receive because it appears to be a negative statement. It is not our human desire to encounter different kinds of trials. But James says to us, count it all joy when we do have trials. Count it all joy because if we do endure them, they will produce maturity in us. The word perfect here means mature. So James instructs us to let endurance have its perfect result. The translators put the word "its" in italics for emphasis. It takes endurance to go through problems. Many times we want to just give up. The Holy Spirit is always with us as he supplies the grace and the vision for us to see and endure our trials until the end. Then and only then will we see the fruit of our enduring trials as we hang in there. Beloved, that's we all need the grace of the Lord to help us hang in there as we go through different trials and tribulations. You know what trials and tribulations you're facing. And so the Lord is saying, rejoice. Because if you'll hang in there, it's going to produce something in your life. It's going to produce a real joy. It's going to produce an endurance. It's going to produce maturity in your life. If any of you lacks wisdom, James goes on to say, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach. In other words, God doesn't scold us because we're asking him for wisdom to help us in the time of trial and tribulation. It will be given to him, James 1:5 tells us. What a great promise to each believer. When we are in the midst of a trial, it is wisdom that we need the most. The Holy Spirit, God's agent to give us the wisdom of God, his promise is that we will receive a generous portion from him, and we do not have to be ashamed to ask for it. And so this is why he is called the helper. And this is why we're taking time to focus on developing our relationship with the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Verse 6 goes on to say in James 1 that doubt is lurking and ready to defeat us. It is a battle to continue in faith many times. That's why James uses the word endure. Asking God is the beginning of faith, but not the end. Jesus said to endure, to keep on asking and expecting God's help. He will give you wisdom to know what to do. The result will be growth. So we need to identify whatever the trial we may be having presently and ask God to give us wisdom through his Holy Spirit to endure those trials. Keep asking until the victory appears and you will rejoice in the growth you will experience. What a promise God has given to us. In fact, Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 9, I believe it is. He said, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And you that are evil know how to ask things from your fathers, your earthly fathers, and they'll give you, when you ask for an egg, they're not going to give you a scorpion. So your heavenly Father is so much superior. When you're asking for wisdom, he's not going to give you, he's not going to close his ear to your asking, because he wants to bring us into a fullness of our walk with him as a son and daughter of God. His goal is to mature us and to grow us up in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the kind of humanity in the earth that he intended from the very beginning, to be a son and a daughter of God, to fulfill God's purposes in the earth. And in it will come multitudes of blessings to our life. So, Father, we thank you for this encouragement from James. And as we continue to study what James has to say, open our hearts. Give us strength, O God. And we thank you that as we study here, that life fades like grass and flowers of the field. But, Lord, your word endures forever, will never pass away. We thank you for that. So let's look at James chapter 1, 9 through 10, as we go further with what James is writing to the saints. The brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation. Because like flowering grass, he will pass away. It will pass away. Here we read of the wisdom of God. Oh, wow. Listen to this. What is the wisdom of God? The brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. So you don't have much money. It's tough every week, every month, paying all the bills, and you're humbled by that. But the Bible says that you are actually to glory in your high position because you're really rich in Christ. But the rich man, who maybe doesn't have those challenges month after month, is to glory in his humiliation. In other words, his focus is to walk out humility in the midst of his wealth. Because like flowering grass, he will pass away. And so we're all that way. Our lives are only for a moment it's like the blink of an eye, really, when you come right down to it. You know, and if you can live as long as God's allowed me to live, 80 plus years, you say, thank you, Father, for that life you've given me. Thank you for what you've taught me in this life. But one of these days, this natural life is going to be over. And for some that are listening that are a lot younger, my time will come before your time, probably. Anyway, we just know that we have this wonderful inheritance in the Lord, that when this life passes, we will move into another realm of his presence. So here we read of the wisdom of God. The Lord always sees both sides of the coin. On the one hand, the person who does not possess a lot of this world's good should recognize in Christ that he has been highly exalted. In other words, in Jesus, we have everything we need. He is our source. He is our supply. He is the son. We are son or daughter of a king. And everything the king's father would choose for him to have is his. So as kingdom men and women, whatever the Father chooses for you to have and for me to have, it comes from him, and we rejoice in his supply. He supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, as Philippians tells us. And so here we continue to think about this thought. On the other hand, the one who has been blessed with the world's goods should walk in humility. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, in other words. He only has what he has by God's goodness. In other words, if we're rich in this world's goods, we ought to just say, thank you, Jesus, and then look how we can share it with other people. That would be the heart of the Father, the love of the Father flowing through us, that we would help others that are maybe in great need. We would be careful to support God's kingdom purposes through the financial blessings that God has given to us, and let our this world's goods humble us. Let us be humbled by the fact that God has supplied all these things for us if we happen to have this world's goods. The Holy Spirit wants us to focus on those things that will remain, which principally have eternal substance. See, that's the focal point that God wants to bring us to. We're looking onto God, as Colossians says. Set your affections on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Let that be where our affection is found. It's in Christ. It's in the Father's presence. And so whatever we're asking, is this God's will? The transforming power of the Holy Spirit in each believer remains. Is this God's will? The transforming power of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life is to help us live for God's pleasure and not our own. You will find pleasure living for God's pleasure. Let me say that. And this is good proof of a more complete restoration to God's plan and purpose. If I'm poor, I'm not to dwell on my poverty, but rather embrace my wealth, which is found in Christ Jesus. If I am poor because of laziness and misuse of funds, I need to repent and ask the Holy Spirit to help me. But if I'm poor because of my plight in life, I'm to rejoice, as James states, in my high position as a son of God, a daughter of God, blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, as Ephesians 1:3 gives us. If I am rich, then I am to make my riches secondary. My rejoicing is to be in the saving grace of God. I am to rejoice that the riches did not stop me from humbling myself before Almighty God and confessing my absolute poverty and my hopeless condition without God's saving work. The scriptures are so incredible when made alive by the author, the Holy Spirit. He helps us to apply their eternal truths in this temporal life. What an amazing thing God has given to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Whatever your situation may be, take the appropriate position. By the power of the Holy Spirit, claim your position in the Lord Jesus for your daily need. Remember your high state in Christ. Glory in your absolute poverty without him. And give thanks in the midst of plenty. Always remember, he saved you in spite of your temporal position. Oh, that is so incredible to get a hold of, my friends. And so we want to continue on with James, and we're going to look at perseverance under pressure will bring with it a great reward. James 1:12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. To persevere is always admirable. Just keep thinking, I can do it. I remember in high school when I ran my first cross-country race, thinking to myself, I don't know if I can make it to the finish line. I began to set goals to help me make it from one point to another. Finally, the finish line was in sight, and it became my final goal. I persevered and overcame to receive the prize. James has added another dynamic to perseverance, that is under trial. If I had been sick and running, that would have qualified for under trial. Many are running the race of this life and are under trials in the process. I think of members of the persecuted church throughout the world trying to live as a Christian in some of the most impossible situations. It's fresh in our mind. Can you imagine the believers in Iran and what they're having to go through right now in situations there? And all over the world, in China and elsewhere, where the church is persecuted. My heart especially goes out to parents that are carrying an extra load because of the illness of a child. The Holy Spirit has come to guide us through the obstacles that interfere with our race toward the goal of His high calling. It is a race not in terms of speed, but rather the goal for the prize. The goal is the throne of grace, and the prize is the Lord Himself. James speaks of the crown of life. He states that the Lord has promised the crown of life to all those that love Him. Do you love Him today? If you do, there's a promise of life given to you in the Lord. And as we enter into His life, we find that the natural life is full of trials, determined to hinder our progress. But you are blessed as you persevere through those trials. Although the life of Christ is presently in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, there is a promised day approaching when we will enter into the fullness of His life. We will be crowned with His glory and enjoy His presence constantly. That's coming, beloved. Keep your eye on the prize. Receiving God's love and ministering it back to Him in doing His will assures us of the promises. Only in the power of the Holy Spirit can we successfully persevere under trial. So today, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Ask the Holy Spirit for strength to persevere under trial. Keep drawing from the Comforter, who is an ever-present help in time of need. Father, we desperately need your help as we consider these scriptures. We invite the Holy Spirit to come and help us right now in the midst of the trials. You know what every listener is going through. You know what's going on in their lives right now. And I agree with them for the presence of the Holy Spirit to empower them and to strengthen them and to comfort them, that they might persevere under whatever the trial is. Maybe it's a marriage that's not in the best of shape. I pray for the persevering power of the Holy Spirit on that husband, on that wife, whatever the situation might be. Lord, maybe it's a child that is giving the parents problems. Lord, I pray for strength. I pray for the enduring help of the Holy Spirit as they press into you for their child, as they're trusting for maybe their child's salvation. Maybe their child is out of the home. Maybe they've already grown up. Maybe they have their own families. Maybe it's a grandchild. Lord, I pray as grandparents, we persevere for our grandchildren, for the next generation, that you would strengthen each listener. Lord, help us to keep drawing from the Comforter, who's never going to leave us, who's always present to help in our time of need. And so we are so grateful, Father. I thank you today in this lesson that you encourage us to press in, to persevere under pressure, and it'll bring a great reward. We thank you for that reminder here from James. Father, we thank you that all men are tempted, but God is not the originator of temptation. As James tells us in James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. This is a very critical scripture, beloved, and it's a principle that we need to understand. God cannot be tempted by evil. I think of Job when I read this. In the book of Job, it tells us, at that time, Satan appeared before God. Satan pointed out Job to God and requested permission to tempt God, to tempt Job. Satan hoped to cause him to curse God. That was his goal. God gave Satan permission, but forbade him to take Job's life. Was God being tempted by evil? Was God tempting Job by giving Satan permission? I believe that the answer is no on both counts. You can't tempt God. But God saw something greater for Job, and so God allowed Satan to tempt Job, but he did not allow him to take his life. He forbid him to do that. And we know the story. If you go back and read the book of Job, it's a wonderful place in Scripture that we get a hold of understanding how God intervenes on our behalf. First of all, God is sovereign. He could have removed Satan from his presence if he had so desired. In the wisdom of God, he gave Satan permission to give Job trials that surpassed that which a human being should normally have to endure. God knew his plan for Job, and he allowed Satan to test Job. Secondly, it was Satan who tempted Job. It was in his heart to tempt Job because he hated the righteousness that Job demonstrated that was in Job. And he wanted the opportunity to break Job down and have him curse God. God did not tempt Job directly. God only gave Satan permission to tempt Job. As James said, he himself does not tempt anyone. Temptation is a universal problem for all humans. It began in the garden when Satan, in the form of a serpent, asked Eve, "Hath God said?" All temptation is centered in one thing, rejecting God's word over a suggestion. The suggestion is rooted in lust, many times, desiring that what I want over what God wants for me. The weakness of the flesh is in my want. Eve wanted to be like God, to be in control of her own destiny. The death of Christ was the only cure for dealing with the sin of mankind. The temptation offered by Satan was for Adam and Eve to receive immediate gratification. Jesus rejected that offer as a human and died on an awful death for all mankind. Once and for all, Satan was defeated. If you remember, we've talked about this before. Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4 show Jesus, after receiving the Holy Spirit, after the Father speaks from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And there was a descending of the Spirit in a visible form of a dove that came and let upon Jesus. And then immediately the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be alone with God. And there is where Satan came and tempted the Lord Jesus. That's where he was tempted in every point as we are tempted, yet without sin. And what did he do? He first tempted him in his body by tempting him after 40 days of fasting to eat, to turn the rock into bread. God never intended rocks to become nourishment for mankind. And Jesus, by the word of God, rejected what Satan said. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So his first temptation was in his body. And then the enemy went on to tempt him in his soul by taking him up into a high place and tempting him to cast himself off the building, because the Bible said that God would not allow one bone of his body to be broken. The last temptation was to his spirit, when the enemy promised him all the kingdoms of the world, when God the Father already had that in mind for Jesus. Jesus didn't want instant gratification. He knew he came to endure the cross for us. And so he rebuked Satan, and Satan left him for a season. You can go back and read that portion of the scripture. It's very, very important area to understand. So all temptation is centered in one thing, rejecting God's word over a suggestion. The suggestion is rooted in lust, desiring what I want over what God wants for me. The weakness of the flesh is in my want. Eve wanted to be like God, as I said earlier. So the enemy is still roaring like a lion, the Bible says, but has been defeated by the Lion of Judah. Paul declares, no temptation has overcome you, but such is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you're able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape. In other words, he's going to help us to endure it, that you'll be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. My, we're out of time again. How does that happen? So let me encourage you. The Holy Spirit will never leave us nor forsake us. He will provide wisdom, overcoming power, if we will resist the tempter and trust in Christ's overcoming life. Job made a choice to trust God, no matter what his friends were saying to him. Choose this day whom you will serve, the Bible says. Will you serve the Lord Jesus Christ and his will for your life, or will you give in to the lusts and the desires of the flesh? So we have to stop there. We're going to pick up next week and talk about God, the giver of every good and perfect gift. Amen. I hope this has been helpful, and thanks for being with us tonight. Again, drop us a line at P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Let us know you're listening and tell us what the broadcast means to you. And if you can help us in the support of the broadcast, that would be so appreciated. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord. Walk with the King and be a blessing to others.